For our second reading today, we continue in the book of Philippians. And this time we are in the third chapter and beginning at verse 4. And Paul says to his beloved friends at Corinth, where he holds for them this dream that they may be like Christ. He says these words. He says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, but I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of Christ's resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by welcoming him in his death, by becoming like him in his death, if I can somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already reached the goal. But I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word will not return empty. Amen. So the passages this day, I've always not liked the one that Liesl read, so I let her read it. And the one that I read, I've come around to this so many times. So there's about actually four places in Paul's letters that he writes this litany of how wonderful he is, about the fact that he was born of good lineage. He studied as a young man. He became a student of the law. He became a Pharisee. He had power and privilege within his circles. He was, in fact, a Roman citizen. He doesn't mention that in this one, but that's another attribute that we know of Paul. He saw himself as one filled with righteousness, so much so that he was perfectly comfortable going after and destroying and killing these people who belonged to this new movement that was in Christ. He believed himself better than others because he knew what the rule book was and he was able to live in accordance to this rule book. And he found himself desperately alone. He found himself desperately, when the possibility that exists in Christ confronted him on his road to Damascus, when he was literally knocked off his horse and blinded by the fall with like scales on his eyes and unable to see his way forward with everything that he thought he knew. I wonder if each one of us, we made a list of all those things that are wonderful about us, about where we come from, about who we belong to, about the accomplishments of our lives, the quality of our study, the network of friendships that we might have. If we were to start taking a look at all of the things that are part of who we are, would we be able to stand as proudly as Paul? And I have to say, yeah, for me, probably not. Paul had better lineage than I did. My parents didn't even know what tribe they came from, and I don't think they cared very much because it's a different sort of way of being. If I list the stuff of my life and the successes that happened over it, and I think of all the decisions that I have made, the ones that have benefited and felt really good, and ones that have gotten in my way and caused a great deal of pain to myself and others. When I think of those times when I acted in my own remarkable righteousness, feeling so secure about who I am and what I know. When I think of myself, if I try to take a weighing of myself, as Paul did with himself in this passage, I find myself somewhat humbled, somewhat ashamed. And yet I think I can say with Paul that the greatest thing that ever happened to me is when I fell upon Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And when all of that I thought was my own had to be reconsidered through an altogether different lens, when I realized that Jesus is not about me, but I have to be about Jesus. In our class this morning, we talked a good bit about that parable that Liesl read, about the landowner who establishes a garden, the earth, and how he set this people to watch over it and to take the produce from it and to give that produce back to the Lord, that the Lord might be able to use that produce to meet the needs of all those for whom the Lord is responsible. And about how people in their greediness decided not to do that, and how when people came and told them the importance of sharing the gifts that God had given to the community of this nation, the Jews or the Israelites or the Americans or however you want to own that. How when the master sent those who would ask for the appropriate tribute, they would only beat the messengers and send them away, until he sends his own son, thinking that they would honor the son. And we all know how that turned out. That somehow we thought if we could only make Christ go away, if we could only silence that voice that calls us to community, to stewardship, to responsibility for the tremendous gifts with which we have been entrusted. If we could only silence that and live by our own rules, by our own markers of our own success, if we could only be the people that we choose to be rather than the people that God would have us be, that somehow we would receive blessing upon blessing. And it doesn't work that way. You know, and a week that's full of heartbreak with the events in Las Vegas. Long article this morning in the newspaper about the man who perpetrated the violence and about his life. And about the fact that this is the guy that probably most of us would kind of sort of like to be. A guy who comes from humble beginnings. A real pull yourself up by your bootstraps sort of an individual who tried several different avenues in life and finally found his way into real estate and through real estate became remarkably wealthy, who was very careful not to put his heart out there where anyone could hurt him, who kept himself safe by keeping himself alone, and who liked to have people around as long as they served him and waited on him, but he had little use for connection. He had little use for intimacy, even with his wives and his girlfriend. And I see this person who has money, he has power, he has prestige, people wait on him because he's important. I see this person who has everything that we're told we're supposed to want in order to be successful within our society. And something snapped, I don't know what. I don't want to pretend to psychoanalyze, it's not my field. And if it was my field, I wouldn't be very good at it. But I know that thousands of lives are inalterably devastated because a person who had achieved everything that one could imagine wanting was still desperately missing something of essence. How much I can hear Paul's words when he says, I realize that everything that they told me was important in order for me to be whole is rubbish. It's excrement is actually the better translation. It is in the way of me getting to be the person that God wants to be. The more I am sure that I am right and you are wrong and others are wrong, the more I find myself to be privileged and I use that privilege to stand over and against the possibility of generosity, the more I am that person, the more I know I cannot be God's person. As Paul said, the best thing that ever happened to me is when the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life and told me that I couldn't be who I thought I wanted to be and said, I've got a different path for you. And that is a path that pulls you into the church. It's a path that pulls you into relationships. It's a path that has you put up with people that you don't even know if you would like otherwise. It has a path that has me loving people that I probably never would have met, and I certainly would not have prayed for, and I may never have been at all concerned about, and their lives could do their thing, and my life could do my thing, and I could be happy because. But that was not God's path for me, and it wasn't God's path for any of us. And it's not God's path for any human being that we buy into the myths of our society, and we think that it's all about us and our privilege and our position. Like Paul, we find our true humanity when Christ breaks us. When that which we thought held us together becomes shattered, and we fall to Jesus Christ, who shows us a new way, a way of relationship, a way of love, a way of generosity. My friends, my heart hurts this week. It hurts for my nation. It hurts for people that are very close to some of us. It hurts for the ache within that feels like nothing can really happen to change these terrible events that have become so very common within our lives. Nothing, it feels as if who we are and who we are becoming is disconnected. And yet, Christ, the cornerstone, can fall upon us and crush who it is we think we are, and we can fall upon Christ and be broken into pieces, and the Lord himself, the author of all life, can rearrange our pieces so they make sense to God's purpose. And we can find our way into that co-humanity that God created us to live in. And we can genuinely love and celebrate men and women and boys and girls and creatures with whom God invites us to share life. And we can be God's people. And we can do God's work in our community. And our lives can make a difference. But we have to be here. We have to be generous. We have to give of our love, of our prayers, of our money, of our time, of our abilities. And we have to be those who are willing to change the world, that we can celebrate, that we're not there yet, but holding on to the promise of God, we march forward toward the goal of a world that is as just and as open and as welcoming as is God's heart. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for passages that are hard, for being invited to remember again who we are, to consider those things we take in the way of food, in the way of what we see on Facebook or in the newspaper, about the articles that reaffirm our side and diminish people who don't think like us, about the judgments that we use to destroy and annihilate the very humanity of sisters and brothers that you have called us to love. Lord, as we are aware this day of those things that we bring in, may we be willing to bring in hope. May we be willing to bring in a dream of justice. May we be willing to bring in great gratitude and a willingness to be broken by you over and over again.